Today is found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Matthew 13, 44 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. There are two parables here, and I will start with the first one. In this parable, Jesus is referring to an instance of a man plowing in the field, and he found good treasure. According to the time, there were no banks like ours today where we can keep our money securely. So, here is a rich man who has plenty of money. He will keep one third of his money to trade. The other third he will convert into jewelry, which he can lightly carry on his person in case of great emergency, such as war, and he has to flee from great danger. The third part of his wealth he will bury in the field. We do not know what happened to the field later on, but when this man discovered the treasure, which may be a cache of gold coins, he quickly covered up and he sold all that he had in order to buy this field. What is the moral of this parable? The moral of this parable is that when we find Christ and therefore everlasting life, we are willing to forego everything in order to obtain it. From here we have the story of the woman of Samaria. The Samaritan woman came to the well, Jacob's well, to draw water. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sitting on the well, waiting for his disciples, had a talk with her. He said, "Give me water to drink, and I will give you living water, so that you may not need to come here, that once you drink, you'll never thirst." The woman accepted the offer, and he said, "Please give me this living water." Jesus replied, "On condition that you call your husband here." And she said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "What you say is very true, because you have already had five husbands, and the present one living with you is not your husband." The woman suddenly realized, "How can he tell about my life? He must be a prophet." But Jesus was not only a prophet. He revealed to her that he is the Christ, the Messiah. Having now come to the realization that she has met the Son of God. He is a true Savior. She left her water pot and went to the city to tell all the Samaritans, come here and see a man who is not only a prophet, but he is the Messiah. And the Samaritans, although they have a mixed religion, knew who the Messiah was. And the Bible tells us that many Samaritans came, and not a few of them believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The treasure that is priceless transcends anything that you have. I have a second example. In the course of running the Firestone Bible College, we had the Norwegian captain of the gospel ship Logos come to Singapore. And all the members of the ship with the captain stayed in this Bible college and church. And he, being a Norwegian, is usually a Lutheran. And here you understand the difference between certain denominations. The Lutherans are known as Arminians, follower after Arminius, who was against Calvin, his teacher. He teaches that no one can be sure of his salvation. Well, that is pretty precarious. Do you know your salvation? But when he came to Singapore, he had heard the doctrine of Calvin that once we are truly saved, we will never be lost. Once saved, always saved. That to him was really good news. So, knowing that our college is Reformed and Calvinistic, and we teach this doctrine, he gave up his captainship of the ship Logos. When he first came, his wife was with him. But now he sent home his wife in order to study at our college to find out more of the doctrine of eternal security. And when he returned to Norway, and the Norwegians are mostly Lutherans, he knew he would suffer persecution. I had an old Norwegian student, 10 years my senior, and now he is in his early 90s. Being a Lutheran, he could never stomach our doctrine that once saved, you will be saved. You'll not be lost. He got so angry with me when he received my weekly. Please don't send me your weekly because you talk of such a thing. We can never know we are saved. Do you know you are saved? What sort of medicine do you take? Is there a sure cure? So he gave up his captainship now to go out preaching Christ, the right doctrine of salvation. He's willing to give up all to gain Christ. I have a third example, and that is a couple who has lately joined our church. He found out from our website what we are, and the couple visits our book room regularly. They say they come from a church that has grown cold and is now leaning to charismatism. And having found the priceless treasure of Christ being preached in the church, they gladly give the bonuses that they receive in teaching to the building of the Bueller House, amounting to many thousands, because they found the great price of Christ and His salvation, and how it has been made very plain and clear in our church. Now I know that there are others who have come here because we are a Bible-believing church, and we do our level best to tell you the truth from the Bible, that you are also joining our church and supporting the needs of our church. I pray that the same blessing that I gave to you now may also be received by that couple who loves the Lord. Now we must look at the second parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold it, and sold all that he had, and bought it. This second parable looks very much like the first, but the meaning is the opposite. Because the difference between the two parables, the first one is just any man, but the second parable is a special man, a merchant of pearls. He is quite different from any person. He is a specialist, and he knows the value of pearls and of jewelry. Usually you go and shop for diamond or any jewelry, you just have to trust the merchant. I do not know anything about diamonds or pearls, but this man knows, and commentators say that he is none other than Christ, the specialist. And it is he who knows the value of the pearls. The difference between the two parables is this, that in the first one, it is a sinner seeking Christ. In the second one, it is Christ seeking the sinner. And so, instead of being like the first parable, it has a different meaning. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, to show you how much he has to forgo in order to buy the pearl of great price. Let us all turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, where the Apostle Paul says, of what sacrifice our Lord Jesus had to make in order to win the pearl of great price. So he says in verse 5, chapter 2 of Philippians, to verse 8, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be with God. He is equal to God. But then he made himself of no reputation. He empties himself of his glory and took upon him the form of a servant, of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. For him, God, to become man is a great demotion. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For if he had not died, he would not be able to save us. So, we are all bought with a price, because our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, seeking the sinner, but the sinner is one elect of God. Before God made the world, he had already chosen us. So it is a pearl of great price. But to attain to that, he must go the way of the cross as a humble slave, obeying the will of God the Father in order to die for us. Now every missionary is like Christ. Every missionary has a special knowledge. And Christ is the first missionary who sets us an example. And Christ and our Lord Jesus Christ has to die for us to pay the price. So must every missionary be prepared to serve God, faithful to him even unto death. That is the lot of every pastor also, of everyone serving the Lord in whatever capacity. We must be willing to serve him for Christ's sake, even to death, because the people of the world hate Christ and hate Christians. The story is told of Livingstone, most famous missionary to Africa. How one day in his work for the Lord, he was attacked by a lion. Happily, he carried a revolver with him for self-protection. But before he could shoot the lion to death, the lion had mauled him on his left shoulder so that his arm became paralyzed and he could not use it. But if he had not killed the lion in time, he might have been eaten by the lion. Then he would be a martyr of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in regard to our commissioning today, I would like to speak to Brother Mok and Carol. Do you know that Masailand has a few lions? I don't want to scare you to say. And you are serving there to the best of ability, even to death. But do not be unnecessary martyrs to be eaten by the lions. So you have to be watchful that you may not fall into danger. So, the parable of the merchantman who knew all about pearls is applicable to them. They have also the same knowledge about salvation and about the needs of the people and how you are to serve the people, namely to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to save their souls. You have to be prepared to suffer. You're going to Masailand. We pray the Lord will keep you safe. But it is not to an easy life. It is to a life of hardship, but you are prepared for it. As every missionary, every minister of God, everyone in whatever capacity serving with the Lord Jesus Christ must want to do in order that we may qualify, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life, as the Lord has spoken to the church in Smyrna. Too many missionaries today go out and they do not do the will of God but do the will of themselves. And there are many of them who go with camera and they take pictures to show what they are doing outwardly. I know of a Bible college in Penang, and they call it the Bible College of North Malaya. And for 8 years, they were supported by American funds. But after 8 years, they were found out that they were not truly training gospel warriors. And so the Bible College died. We must be true to our calling. Now this message is applied to our church as a whole. We are all saved by grace. We are all redeemed. At what great price, we know. Then our missionaries who are going on our behalf, see that we truly go with them by our prayers and by our support. We, having discovered such a priceless gift from the Lord, we are willing to give our best to the Lord. I thank God that our church is full of matured givers. They don't only give to the builder house. That is the present very important question for us to answer. But they know how to give to other places, other people who are in need, because they have tasted the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what an honor it is that God has promoted us suddenly to Masai Land. It was started by Dr. Patrick Tan of the New Life Church with one principal, Lillian, and a school of 120 or so now, and another one who is there as a manager. But there is plenty of trouble there, and the Lord has suddenly raised up Chan Pui Ming as a nurse so that they can operate the clinic for many, many who are sick there. And also Jun Tan, she is serving in the Bible College of East Africa. But now Mok and Carol, as they truly have sold their property, as it were, they have settled all the business here to pack up, to go and serve in a difficult land. Therefore, let us all remember to pray for these four. Plus Lillian, she's the only one that is from New Life. That God's kingdom may prosper. Different countries have different results. We have many conversions in Cambodia, praise the Lord. We may not have many conversions in Masai Land, but the gospel is to be preached into all the world.